There's nothing like snook hook sets at dawn or catching a tarpon in the moonlight. Find your next fishing trip made easy on fishingbooker.com and experience the magic of the Sunshine State or any other destination on your fishing bucket list. Book a blue water adventure in search of sailfish or go snapper fishing with the kids. With over 6,000 captains and trips to choose from, planning your next one just got a whole lot easier. Download the Fishing Booker app on the Google Play or App Store or visit them online at fishingbooker.com to book your trip today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Are your wiper blades chattering, skipping, or squeaking? Don't let streaks or smearing on your windshield compromise your visibility. When it's time to replace your wiper blades, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and see our selection. Our professional parts people will even install your new wiper blades while you wait. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You ever get that feeling, the walls closing in, the concrete jungle suffocating you? You crave some wide open spaces, the chance to connect with nature, maybe in a spot all your own. Well, head over to land.com. They've got ranches, forests, mountains, streams, you name it. Search by acreage. You can search by location. You can search by the kind of hunting and fishing you're dreaming of. Land.com. It is where the adventure begins.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Nation Podcast Network, brought to you by Savage Arms and the new 110 Ultralight. At about 6 pounds, the 110 Ultralight is designed to combat elevation and the elements while maintaining the performance of a factory blueprinted Savage 110 action. The carbon fiber wrapped stainless steel barrel makes it durable and lightweight. The rifle comes equipped with the Savage AccuFit technology, so that means it's adjustable and it comes in a variety of calibers. The 308, the 270, the 28 Nosler, the 280 Ackley Improved, the 30-06, and much more. If you want to find out more information about the 110 Ultralight, visit savagearms.com.
My name is Clay Newcomb, and I'm the host of the Bear Hunting Magazine podcast. I'll also be your host into the world of hunting, the icon of North American wilderness, the bear. We'll talk about tactics, gear, conservation, but we'll also bring you into some of the wildest country on the planet, chasing bear. This one is going to be a little bit different. We're sitting around a campfire in Arkansas, and I've got a lot of my family with me and friends. We've got about 15 people. It's almost like a live podcast because several of us take turns telling stories, and my brother even sings a song with guitar. This is a very fun podcast. You're going to enjoy it. You're going to enjoy the stories, and you're going to enjoy some of the new voices on this podcast. And a bunch of the kids were there, my nieces and nephews, my mom and dad, and some other good friends. You're going to enjoy this. This week, I've been carrying my CVA Acura mountain rifle. This gun has a Cerakote finish. It's got a shorter barrel. It's got a breakover. It's a breakover gun with a breech plug that you can undo without a tool. You can undo it with your fingers. I sighted this gun in last Friday with 5 shots. Sighted it in at 100 yards easily. Really like carrying this gun. Unfortunately, I've not fired it at an animal yet, but I'm planning to remedy that real quick. This gun feels very good in hand. And CVA has an incredible guarantee on all their guns. Check out the full line of muzzleloaders at CVA.com. Hey, it's fall. And the winter is coming. We do a lot of hound hunting and dog-related activities in the winter. Anything you need. Check out DU Hunting Supply for anything that has to do with dogs, anything that has to do with sporting dogs, heck, your pet dog. They carry a full line of Garmin equipment. Garmin just came out with their new 200i, their Alpha 200i, which is their first new dog tracking device in 8 years. This device tracks your dogs, does a whole bunch of new stuff the old Alpha didn't. But it also has a built-in InReach so that you can communicate back home if you need to. Check out DU Supply for everything you need for this winter. Buddy Woodbury and his team of trained professionals are incredible at customer service. Check them out. Hey, we are still baiting a few bears around here, and we're using Northwoods Bear products for scent to attract bears into a bear bait. Check out Northwoods. You hear me talk about the Gold Rush fryer grease additive all the time. I stand by it as my favorite Northwoods bear product. If you're baiting bears, it makes no sense not to be using commercial scents. So if you're still baiting bears this fall, or if you're going to be baiting bears next spring, I'm telling you, you will never regret at a bear bait having commercial scents. And the best scents that we've used, and I've used them for years, I used them before they were partners in this podcast, is Northwoods. Check out our friends there. And lastly, the Western Bear Foundation, nonprofit hunting conservation organization for bears out west, fighting the good fight and doing a lot of great stuff in the West. Check out the Western Bear Foundation. You're going to enjoy this podcast with my friends and family around a red oak fire in Arkansas. So, Dad, did you know that there have been some grievances that have come up to me from the other pupils in the Gary Newcomb Hunting School of Hard Knocks? Because I have said in the past that I was the only graduate, actual graduate of the school. There were actually two other students, both of which who are here tonight. One of them is my older brother, Zach. And Zach came to me and I actually apologized to him. But Zach, so I just want to give you this opportunity to like relieve any grievance publicly.
This is like the bully pulpit right here.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So what now what you're saying is that you didn't really try to complete the school. Oh, wow. This is deep.
Well, you're forcing me to respond. So I was never in the school.
Okay. Clay. Okay. Okay.
So what you said is that we were in a school and failed to graduate.
Okay. Okay.
Now, what actually happened, the reality of the scenario, is that we were offered entrance to the school and we said, we're good.
Okay. Okay.
Tuition's too high.
Just not interested. Not interested.
Okay. Okay.
And so.
So you felt like you were misrepresented.
I felt like, yeah. So it's not like there was an attempt to graduate.
Tyler was for sure. You know, I'm going to just recant that I was the only graduate. I think Tyler graduated. And we're going to hear a story from Tyler later.
I think you were the only graduate and the only attendee.
Okay.
And Josh, Tyler thinks he was a graduate.
Josh was the summer camp.
I was like, the summer camp attendee.
Josh has hunted enough with Gary Newcomb that he basically has the equivalent of education of someone that went to like a summer camp.
I don't have a degree. I have a certification.
It's more of an associate's.
It's like an associate's. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think I've even ever killed a bird. Like when we were kids and we would hunt with BBs, like I have the vivid, this is my only hunting story. I have the vivid memory.
Here we go.
Yeah, you pulled it out of me. We have the vivid memory of going BB, and I could never hit the bird with the BB.
Right.
Like never, like really never could.
Yeah.
Like could never hit it. And then one day it was snowing, and I hit the bird, and then the blood, you know, was all over the snow. So it created.
Gonna get a citation now. I'm
not saying. I'm not saying what kind of bird it was. Maybe it was a game bird, Josh.
Maybe it was a quail. Sorry. Maybe it was a bobwhite quail.
And then I have that memory of probably the only animal I've ever actually killed.
Okay. But now you're actually a big outdoorsman, though, Zach. Like you've not been a hunter, but you're a big fisherman, fly fisherman.
Oh, yeah.
So
we like to do those things.
Yeah, for sure.
So. But we never entered into the Gary. He was offered.
Yes.
Maybe Tyler entered. I wouldn't say I entered.
Yeah.
I didn't view myself as much of a student, but I had a little stint of learning how to shoot a compound bow.
Yeah. And we're going to get to that.
Yes.
Dad, do you have any comments on this?
A lot of competition compound bow. No, that was really fun. We enjoyed
shooting
that.
Some archery.
Yeah.
I also was a Zach Newcomb School of Fly Fishing summer camp attendee as well.
Really? You did a lot of summer camping.
Yeah.
And now Josh is like way surpassed me in that. So Josh is now the master troutsman.
No.
All right. Well, hey, here's what right. here's what we're doing. We are yeah, give that back to Ty. So we're at our muzzleloader camp. And let me count how many people are here. We got 1 2 3 4 5 6 7 8 9 10 11 12 13 14 15. We got 15 people. Can anybody give me an estimation of on like a scale of like 0 to 10 for like a typical like hunting campfire size? Like what describe this fire? Ty?
Size of the fire?
Yeah, like
It's a campfire, not a bonfire.
We're
above average, but I'm not impressed.
Okay.
like a 6.5 a 7.
Above average, but unimpressed. If this fire was in your yard, you would be like highly impressed. I mean, am I right?
It's a good fire.
Atticus has been so unimpressed. That thing
I remember last deer camp when we had the.
That was a good one.
And it was roaring. So I've got a really high standard.
So
now.
we're in Arkansas. We're at a muzzleloader camp, and it's always important to note what kind of fire you're burning. I would say this is a red oak fire, which has a very distinct smell. It's got an average crackle. You know, if you're burning light birch wood up in northern Canada, it crackles and pops a lot. This stuff will burn all night like this, though. But, hey, here's what we're going to do. I've got there's five of us here that are going to tell a story. So the way this is going to work is each guy is going to tell a story. And we've got all our kids here. I've got three of my kids. Ty Dennison's boys are here. We've got Simeon Spencer here. We got Shepherd. We got my brother Zach. We got my niece and nephew here, Ike and Clara. And we have my mother and father. This is Juju Newcomb's first time on the podcast. I asked her to tell a hunting story, and, you know, I could tell you about the time she swatted me with a broom, but I won't. Okay. No, Juju, what an honor to have you here.
For the record, her legal name is not Juju.
That's correct. Judy. And then my brother Tyler's here. So we're all here. Okay, who's gonna tell the first story? Should I start it out?
Yeah,
I guess I could start it out. Might as well.
Yeah. Go for it.
Okay, so Ty's gonna tell a story. I'm gonna start off with a story. Dad's gonna think of a story, and then Tyler's gonna tell a story. Okay. So the year was 2000. No. The year was 1999. The calendar had yet to flip to 2000. I remember that because I was dating Misty, some of you guys' mother, at the time. So it was after work, and it was mid-October, and I drove my S10 pickup. I was driving into this place on a non-maintained road, and a deer jumps out in front of me. And, man, this was so long ago, I don't think I would do this anymore, but this was legal. I stepped out of the truck.
It was a pig trail.
It was just a pig trail. And I walked off the road, and the deer just stood there. And I shoot this deer with my bow. Like, I walked off the road, shot this deer with my bow.
It just stood there and let you...
It just stood there. That's why I shot
it. How many yards?
Probably 25.
Okay.
It just stood there. I was going hunting on top of the mountain, so I didn't want to mess with... like letting the deer, like usually you'd wait like 30 minutes before you trailed it. Man, as soon as I shot the deer and it ran off the hill, I just took out after it. And about the time it rolled to a stop, I just grabbed it by the back feet and carried it up the mountain, threw it in the back of the truck, and then went on to go hunting where I was wanting to hunt. When I got up to the tree stand, I've already got a deer in the back of the truck. And I mean, that's a pretty good day in the mountains, and had a deer in the back of the truck, and I'm hunting in a tree stand, and right about probably an hour before dark, I see a big gobbler turkey coming up the hill. And at the time, we had a fall turkey season, and this gobbler turkey, he just comes right by me, right under the stand, I drew my bow back, and it was about 6 or 7 yards, poof, shot, and it hit just right in front of him, just stuck in the ground. And I remember the turkey jumped straight up in the air, you know, fluttered 3 or 4 times and probably went 12 feet off the ground. And I mean, when he hit the ground, he took off running and stopped out there across a little draw at about 20 yards. Well, I grabbed another arrow, and I just pulled back and put it right on him. Poof, shot. And hit the turkey. The turkey turns, runs, and I'm up on the side of this mountain so you can see off this mountain. The turkey just jumps, spreads its wings, and sails like a bald eagle out across this canyon. I mean,
nice.
That is a bad thing that happens if we shoot a turkey with a bow. And I just thought, holy smokes, I am probably not going to find that turkey. Well, I sit up there to try to kill a deer for a little bit longer, and finally I say, man, I better go find that turkey. I get out of the stand, go get my arrow, and I just start walking in the direction that turkey flew. And I walk around for, you know, till just almost dark. And it had been raining, and it was real foggy. And so the woods were real quiet. And I just made zigs and zags down in the bottom of the canyon. And, I mean, I was just looking for a turkey laying on the ground. And it wasn't going to happen. Well, I make a big loop and come back to the truck. And, I mean, I pretty much am just like, well, I've got a deer. I guess a turkey. I guess I'm not going to get this turkey. I put my bow in my truck. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to go one more time back over into this little spot and see what happens. I start walking down this road, and it's real quiet. And I come, it's like, you know, sometimes you're walking and there's like real thick brush, and then all of a sudden, like, there's a new vista that opens up to you, and all of a sudden you can see a new spot. But I'm walking, and all of a sudden, bam, I kind of come around the corner, and there is a turkey sitting on the ground like a roosted chicken with its head up, and I was so close to it I could see that its eyes were closed. I mean, it was like like 5 yards from me. This turkey is sitting there like a roosted chicken, kind of had its neck down, its wallet, and its eyes were closed. And I freeze, and the turkey's right there, and I'm right here. And I had enough time to think, should I go back to the truck and get my bow? Or should I just rush this turkey? And
in a moment of clarity,
about that time, I see that turkey's eyes go bing. His eyes just popped wide open, and that turkey jumped up like it was not hurt and just took off down the mountain. Well, does anybody know what would you do if that happened to you? Get after it. Man, I took after that turkey. And we take off running down the hill. And I remember I was running through briars and brambles. I was wearing those green lacrosse boots with a little yellow, yep, the yellow rim around the top. Yep. Not exactly like the best athletic, like running shoes. And I was running down the hill. And that turkey was about 10 yards in front of me because he got a jump on me. And we're running down the hill, running, running, running. And he's getting further and further away from me. Further and further away from me. And I think, holy cow, that sucker's going to get away from me. And I'm just running as fast. I was like 19. So as fast as a 19-year-old Clay Newcomb could run, he was running down the hill. And we get to the bottom of the hill. And that turkey had no option but to basically go back up the other ridge. We get to the bottom, and he starts going up the next ridge. Well, I get to the bottom. I start going up the next ridge. And I found his weakness. It was going uphill. Because as we start going up the hill, I start gaining on him. And I don't know if you've ever chased anything on foot, but there is a special adrenaline rush that a predator gets when it begins to fathom that it is actually going to be able to capture its prey. And man, I started gaining on that sucker, and I was like, I'm going to catch that sucker. And we run up the hill, and I really don't – I would like to go back to that spot. I could take you to the spot and actually see how far it was. I mean, maybe it wasn't that far. Right. It felt like I chased a turkey a quarter mile. You know, I probably didn't. But we start going up the hill, and I start gaining on him. And I am shocked that I'm gaining on him. And, man, I get about 4 or 5 feet from him, and I just dive. Poof! Just straight up dive and just tackle that turkey. And me and that turkey are both so tired that I just held on to him. I didn't even try to, like, wring his neck for a minute because I was just so tired. And the turkey was so tired. And he had his head up. And I just remember looking over at him. And his head was about 4 inches from my head. And we just looked at each other for a few minutes while we both breathed real hard. And then I humanely dispatched the turkey with a twist of the neck, took him back to the pickup truck, threw him in with a deer, and went over to Misty's house and showed her my gathering, and she married me. All right. Who's next?
Classic.
Who's next? Ty, tell us your story.
Yeah, so I didn't grow up in the deer woods. I grew up in South Texas in the duck blinds. But all my duck hunting stories are boring. Just involve waking up early and
duck hunting
coffee.
Stories are boring. You're right.
I love duck hunting. Yeah. So I came up here to Arkansas and started deer hunting and, did not do well for quite some time. A lot of time in the deer woods, unsuccessful, where I'd either, not see deer or I would, miss a shot. Never had a bad shot that hit, and I wounded an animal, thankfully. But just lots of time observing and learning about how deer run around and getting used to sitting for hours. You don't have to sit for hours duck hunting, really, either. Like, that was a shift for me, was sitting in a deer stand for a long time. But I really enjoy it now. And I did at the time, too. I just had to get used to, you know 3, 4, 5 plus hours sometimes, mm-hmm. just sitting still. And so kind of getting my time, my reps in at the gym, I guess you could mm-hmm. say. But thankfully, it would have been almost 3 years ago, I got my first buck with the help of one Clay Newcomb.
Was that 3 years ago?
3 or 2. It was 2 years ago.
18. Fall of 18.
Yeah, fall of 18.
Fall of 18.
Fall of 18.
Yeah.
We went out, well, ironically, after all the time that I'd spent deep in the woods, this was on a less wooded property. Like, you dropped me off from your truck. It wasn't something I had to hike into. Mm-hmm. I was ground hunting. I wasn't even in a tree stand.
Hunting some private land in Northwest Arkansas.
So, got settled in and, it was in the middle of the day. And I was sitting there and I'd kind of learned how to multitask and do different stuff in the stand. I know Josh today took the Kindle out with him to
do a little reading.
And I was like, man, okay, well, I know later in the day is higher activity and I had some stuff that I could kind of do for work. I'm a software engineer. And so I pulled my phone out and I was like, oh, I got service. So I start writing technical documentation.
You didn't tell me this.
Yeah, I start writing tech docs for one of our clients.
Wow.
And I'll describe something and I'd look around and just kind of wait. And I'd go back to writing something and I'd look up and look for a while, wait. And it's rifle season, so I've got a 300 Win Mag on a tripod in front of me.
So y'all know what a 300 Win Mag is?
No,
it's a big gun.
It's a big gun.
Very effective caliber.
You do not have to be very close. I actually wasn't in this situation. I wasn't too far away. I think it was 200 yards, maybe 250. I'm looking, maybe not even that far, but I look up and I see a doe down the road cross a clearing, but not in time for me to take any kind of action. I'm like, oh man, that was my deer. I'm gonna bring home another goose egg.
That was your
deer. There was the deer that I was supposed to shoot.
But I was busy. He was sitting on the edge of a big field, so he could see. You could see.
Oh, real
500 fun. Yards yep. in one direction, and probably 300 or 400 in another.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, there went my chance. And but it was still early in the afternoon, so I thought, okay. And so I get everything ready, and sure enough, as soon as a little, not even 15 seconds after I'd kind of processed, okay, get ready anyway, here comes a buck chasing after that doe. And I got super excited because this was more than I hoped for. I was just trying to fill the freezer at this point.
Right.
I had been skunked so many times going out. There's one thing, if I was trying to be selective here, I just wanted a deer and thought I had missed my deer, which was a doe. And I see antlers, and then he puts his head down, and I take my shot, pow, and he doesn't go but maybe 20 yards and drops. And all of a sudden, because Clay was hunting further on the property, I get excited text from Clay like, did you just shoot? And I was like, yeah, I got one. And man, I sat there super excited and was waiting because I knew I needed to wait for a while. And
did you see the deer go down?
I saw him go down. Yeah, I saw him go down, and I knew I dropped him, but I wanted to wait. And I was probably trying to wait about a half an hour. And about 20 minutes after that, I don't know if it was a ridge. Yeah, probably it's like a ridge line. And I see a doe, like three does, come out from the top and start playing around in front of me. And these were much closer. These were maybe 50 yards in front of me. Mm. And I'm like, I'm going to take like three deer home all of a sudden. I get super excited. And I messaged with Clay, and I was like, nah, just stick with the one deer. But yeah, sure enough, went over there, and it was for the region. It was a good buck.
It was the best deer that has been taken off that property in a long time. Let me put it that way. So it's Todd's first hunt on the property.
Yep.
Now, was that your first deer?
That's my first deer.
First deer. I gar-holed him.
Yep.
Because I was trying to just put him in just an average spot, you know. I didn't want him to kill a big buck. Put him there, and he kills the biggest buck killed on that farm
anyway,
in probably 15 years. What do y'all think about that? That's great. Y'all know I'm just kidding, right? I really didn't want to gar-hole him. I did a little bit.
Can we get a definition of gar-holing?
Gar-holing. Do y'all know what a gar-holing is? Shepherd does, because I gar-hole him all the time. Do you know what it means, Atticus?
I'm only guessing. Does it mean, like, trying to get people away
from
good places?
Yes. That is, Atticus said, trying to keep people away from good places.
He got it.
That nails gar-holing. I think the phrase comes, it's a fishing phrase. Yeah. When you say, yeah, that's a good fishing spot, and you go down there, and all that's in there is gar. And so they gar-hold me. There's no game fish there. It's just gar.
Those are fun to fish.
Well, they're hard, but they're trash. They're not good to eat.
You can't eat them.
So they say.
They trash fish. Cool.
Yeah. So Ty kills this beautiful 130-inch buck. And I remember he texted me a picture of it, and he said, I killed a proper buck. He used that phrase. I killed a proper buck, which, you know, he knows now better than to use that kind of terminology to describe a buck.
Well, I was worried that it was going to be just barely shootable.
And I was like, dude, you just killed a big buck.
Yeah.
I would have spent my whole season hunting that buck.
Yeah.
It was a good one, man. Yeah. So a beautiful buck. So
all worked out over time. It was worth all the investment.
Yes.
What's the official score?
You know, we never scored it. Yeah,
we'll have to score it when we get it back from the taxidermist.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
yeah, Atticus. Yeah, you liked to eat it, didn't you?
It was good.
Good. All right, Dad or Tyler, who's going next?
I can jump in.
All right, Tyler, hit us, man.
Tell you guys, my...
Hey, do you have a good song you could play us?
Maybe.
Hey, tell your story. Then when Dad tells his, then you come back with a song.
Okay, let's see what we can pull out. Okay,
just a thought.
Okay. All right.
I mean, the last person that played a guitar on this podcast was Ted Nugent. So,
oh really?
No pressure.
Okay. Nice.
Can you play the national anthem?
No.
Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Not quite. All right, so my big hunting story. Yeah, I'm not going to tell you about killing a big bear. I'm not going to tell you about story, me killing a big buck. What was that?
You're going to save that story?
We'll save that. We'll save that. But I will tell you, this is the only mammal that I've ever killed. I'm going to let you guys figure this out by the end of this story, what really happened here. Let's build this. I'm going to build this story. What was that?
Is it bigger than a bread box?
Bigger than a bread box. Close.
I'm not going to give it away, man. No hints here. All right, so I got into shooting the compound bow. It was a beautiful time of my life. I'm going to say this could have been a four-month period of my life where I just absolutely loved shooting a compound bow. And I went to probably three tournaments. I believe I placed one time, maybe third place. And it was fascinating. It was exciting. I have no idea why I actually stopped doing that. But one day I was out practicing.
Like a time of deep reflection.
Yeah.
Probably because Dad gave your bow to Josh.
That may have been it. That very well may have been it. So I was out practicing, shooting a target of just a deer, not a real deer, target deer. How do you say that? That shows you how long I've been out of the industry.
We could call it a deer target.
Deer target.
As opposed to a target deer.
Target deer, deer target. So I'm just trying to validate. This is a true story, okay? I'm 36 years old. This was probably when I was 10 or maybe 13. Somewhere in there.
Wow, 3-year span.
Somewhere within there, I'm guessing. So,
yeah, I think you were younger than that.
You were younger. You were dead gum still in diapers, man. Finish
okay.
Your story.
I may have been shooting a deer target. There we go. So as I'm shooting the target, I look, I'm going to guess 20 yards behind that target was a rabbit.
A real rabbit?
A real rabbit.
A target rabbit.
Not a target rabbit. not a target rabbit.
And then what happened?
I made the decision that I wanted to shoot that rabbit with a compound bow. So I snuck over there. The rabbit hadn't moved. I pulled back. Nailed it. I'm going to say it jumped about 6 feet in the air and squealed. And so that was my kill right there.
Wow. Wow. Good story, Tyler.
Thank you.
Your one bow kill.
Yep.
Incredible.
One bow kill.
Incredible. Well, Dad, do you have a story?
Well, you know, kind of. I mean, it's no big deal, really, but the one story I think I would tell that maybe I hadn't mentioned before would be I would turkey hunt with a gun, kill a bird with my gun, then I'd go hunting with my bow. And so I went out one day, and the birds weren't gobbling. And I took a little break, and as I was taking my break, I would call. And I heard.
I'm gonna be your sound effects guy.
Okay. Very good. I could hear it. The woods were real dry, and I could hear more than one bird up above me coming across the backside. They weren't gobbling.
Oh, sorry. Recant.
And so, you know, I'm going like, these birds.
How did you hear them? You heard them walking?
I heard them walking. And so I'm like, that's good with your sound effects. So I hear these birds walking. I'm thinking, you know, they're doing exactly what they're supposed to do. They don't come downhill. So these birds are going to go past me, and there's a chance they're going to come in from the front side. So I get all my equipment ready, and I'm sitting there. And I'm pretty well camouflaged, just sitting on the ground. And these birds go down 50, 75 yards. Then they come down even with me, and then they come to me.
Have they gobbled yet?
They don't gobble. These birds don't gobble. They know they're on their death walk. This is their last stroll. So I'm sitting here ready. And here comes really just one bird. The other bird didn't come in. And this bird was big. And he had a 10 or 11, what do you have, 10-inch beard, didn't he?
Yeah.
He was a good bird. And so he's coming in, he's strutting, you know, he hears this beautiful hen yupping. And he doesn't know that the little hen's got a compound bow in her hand. So he comes up, and this is what I found really intriguing, is turkeys, they don't like to come downhill. They don't like going over objects. They don't like crossing creeks. There's a lot of stuff they don't like doing. They're real picky. And this bird followed all the rules. It's like it had a textbook. Okay, I don't go downhill. So he actually comes in, coming uphill towards me. When he comes to me, there's a log there. He won't cross that log. So he comes to that log, and I'm sitting here like this, and he gets to strutting up and down that log. And
is he jumping up on the log?
No, he's just
on the other side of it.
He won't cross this tree, this log.
I wonder how he walked every day out in the woods. Do you think he could cross a log?
I think this bird was destined to be in my freezer. So this guy, as he comes up and he turns and I see his fan, and I'm thinking, you know, I believe that's what I've been looking for. And so finally the bird did it two or three times, and about the third time when it turned and did the big strut, I whacked the bird, and the bird went about 10 yards and fell over dead.
Dead turkey.
And so,
for the compound bow.
Of course, I go to town. 30 years later, I still have people going, I remember when you killed the barber that we used to go to.
Uh-huh.
Every time I'd go in there to get a haircut, which was about once every 5 years, because I'm bald-headed, he'd go, I remember when you had that turkey across the street. You know, I took it down and showed it to somebody. I forgot. But anyway, you know, kill turkey with a bow. And I did that occasionally, hunted them. But that time was really special to me. So,
yeah, because you killed it without a blind, which was a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's still a tough thing. But back then, not many people were even doing it with blinds.
Right.
You know, I mean, the last 20 years, people have kind of got on to killing turkeys with a bow, but mostly they're doing it in blinds.
Right. Right.
So just doing it out in the mountains.
Yeah, I never used a blind. And I had a lot of birds. You know, I probably, you know, I had a lot of opportunities to kill birds, but that's the only one I killed with my bow, even though I missed a couple, you know, made some mistakes right at the last minute. But, you know, it was really fun to try to kill that second bird with a bow.
Yeah.
So anyway.
I've still yet to go turkey hunting, and I want to.
Hey,
let me sneak.
I got a turkey feather in my hat.
Let me sneak in just a real quick story.
Yeah. Yeah.
I come home one day from turkey hunting, and I tell Judy, I go, Judy, this is crazy, but I know where a bird is going to be strutting this afternoon. I don't remember why I even knew it. You know, they have strut zones.
Right.
And I go, I heard the bird gobbling. He'd gobble here and he'd gobble here. I said, that bird is in this particular place. And I said, why don't you go with me? Judy hates hunting, doesn't want to hunt.
What?
You know. And so I said,
hate hunting. She doesn't like to hunt.
She doesn't want to go.
Let's paraphrase.
She doesn't want to go. So that afternoon, you know, when I come in from hunting, I go, Judy, I want to take you and Gracie on a hike.
Gracie's a dog.
And at the end of the hike, I'm going to kill this big gobbler. And, you know, that never works out. So I got my lab, who is well-trained and will do exactly what I tell it to do, really. And I got Judy, which she has me well-trained, and I do whatever she wants. So we take off on this about a half a mile to a three-quarters of a mile hike. And when we get to a certain spot, I said, Gracie, sit. I said, Judy, you and Gracie sit right here. And I swear, I ducked down, and I walked about 30 yards, and I stood up. And just took my gun and killed a big tom turkey strutting.
He was
exactly
just right
where,
there.
I mean, it was crazy.
It was just where you thought it was.
Exactly. I mean, it was a strut zone.
Oh,
and,
darn.
You know, I've never, it sounds like a turkey story, but it really
I remember
happened.
That.
Judy witnessed it. She saw the whole thing.
Judy, is this true? Can you verify that what he said was true?
Very true. I watched the whole thing. Sat by Gracie, held on to Gracie.
What did he do after he shot it? Was he excited?
Oh, he was thrilled to death.
Yes.
I was shocked. I was in shock.
Did you let Gracie go when he shot?
No. I held on to Gracie.
Gracie would have stayed there anyway.
Juju, what story do you want to tell?
I really have no hunting story since this is my first experience at deer camp. I've never come to deer camp before. So
that
it's
is
been
true.
Quite an experience.
What have you been doing with your life?
Oh, I've enjoyed my time at home in a quiet house while everybody else was deer hunting.
Why did those but people at the bar know your name?
Well, that's a long story. That's a mule story that Clay will have to tell.
Everybody knows that story. It's a long, funny story that I give my mom a hard time about because I had to go into a bar one time to look for a lost mule, and a guy, one of her former students was in there, heard my name, and said, "Is your mom Judy Newcomb?" And I didn't know why this man knew my mother's name. You know, y'all have heard the story. And I go, "Yeah, she is." And I didn't know if I was going to have to fight this guy. I didn't know what was about to happen. And he goes, "She was my teacher." Anyway, so I always give Juju a hard time because they knew her name down at the, you know, at the bar. So I just wondered if you had wanted to, like, say anything about that.
No, I really have nothing to say. I've enjoyed watching, though, the dads with their kids.
Hey, I tell you something about
hunting.
Judy Newcomb. Inside of all of us is a hunter, I'm telling you. And it has come out since I retired. Judy Newcomb loves to check her spider traps. I mean, it's like running traps in the house. She'll go, "Man, look here, how many I got last night."
Well, I hate spiders. I don't want them in my house.
So anyway.
So I will kill a spider.
And then I told her there's a mouse in the camper. I mean, she brings me all the paraphernalia to catch this mouse. "Did you get him? Did you get him? If I don't get him," you know, it's like she's a better hunter than I am. It's the pressures. Amazing.
Tyler, you got a song for us?
If I could remember the song.
How does that one go?
Billy and Bobby.
It's
and
all
Sue.
About just being a country guy. "Well, I'm a country man."
Try it.
I'm going to just try it?
Yeah, okay. Try it. Try it.
All right.
Skull, here, scars.
Tyler, I'm assuming skull, yeah, get in the...
We'll
get
see. It. This one I have, yeah, not.
I want to say this podcast has, like, we've spoken about a lot of things that I don't endorse.
And I did write a song that involved hunting about 5 years ago that was talking about the inner hunter that's been deprived. But I don't think I could sing it because I don't really remember it yet. But right now, but let me just see. Let me just. This one's an oldie, oldie, oldie.
Let's see what you got, Tyler. All right, Tyler. Sing it, man.
All right.
I may sing along a little bit with you. Tyler wrote this when he was in the seventh grade.
"Well, we're the country kind. Boy, we sure don't mind a field or two occupying our entire day. Some people answer to their boss while sitting at their desks all day. But we answer to the wild. We answer to our hate.
Tell it like it is.
We put deer stands in trees. We take pride in making cheese from our goat's milk. We milk them in the morn. Taking care of our animals and our 40-acre yard was really hard back before Bobby and Billy and Willie and Jilly and Crystal and Otis were born."
That's right.
"Well, I'm a country man. When you think about me and about who I am, what do you think? Hey, well, I can sum me up, and that's with this. I like dipping skull. I like dipping skull. I like it fresh, and I like those circles of faded denim on my back pockets. Me and my buddies get in a contest. We pull out our Wranglers. We see who's the best. Who's got the widest rings of skull scars faded on our jeans. My wife prefers me dipping wintergreen. But sometimes when I'm on my bush hog machine, I pull out the regular flavor. So who cares about your breath when you're doing manual labor? Hey, we're country here.
All right. Okay, now we do want to make it public that we never condone any type of tobacco.
That's right.
No mouth tobacco, no any kind of tobacco.
That's right.
From any kind. Tobacco free. But good song, Tyler.
Thank you.
You wrote that when you were in seventh grade?
That one may have been ninth grade.
Oh,
a little
wow.
Later.
This is a little later work.
Yeah. Little, yep.
Keep the wild places wild, because that's where the bears live.
That's it. Nailed it.
You ever get that feeling, the walls closing in, the concrete jungle suffocating you? You crave some wide open spaces, the chance to connect with nature, maybe in a spot all your own. Well, head over to land.com. They've got ranches, forests, mountains, streams, you name it. Search by acreage. You can search by location. You can search by the kind of hunting and fishing you're dreaming of. Land.com. It is where the adventure begins. Hey, we're going to take a little break here and talk about Interstate Batteries. Now, if you're like me, enjoying the great outdoors, you need gear that is as reliable as it gets. That's why I power my adventures with Interstate Batteries. I use Interstate Batteries in my boats. I use Interstate Batteries in my camper. Great for your truck, too. From Alaska to Montana, they're outrageously dependable. Battery is essential. With over 150,000 dealer locations, finding one is easy. For all your vehicles, land or sea, choose Interstate. Head to interstatebatteries.com and find your power today.